the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA.
Welcome into the first episode of More Than Marketing. My name is Rob Johnson. So this is a take on an idea that we've had around here for a little while to do a new show that details really two things. One is to document the startup of our marketing company and talk about the things that have went really well, the things that we've struggled with, and the second thing is to create an educational platform where people can listen and learn about other businesses, how they've scaled, what's worked for them, and really interview different people from different businesses. And that's not going to be a staple. It's not like every episode is going to be an interview. But what we wanted to do is create a 20 to 30 minute weekly show that showcases the ups and downs, the highs and lows of a business, and also highlights other businesses, what they're doing well, what they've learned from, and put that into a package where people, whether you're an entrepreneur or a student or you're just an employee and you just want to learn more about business, where you can get information from and hopefully help you in whatever career journey that you're in. So that's the purpose of this show. I don't want to spend too much time on the origin of myself and the company. And I guess like the 60-second elevator pitch, it's not even a pitch. It's really just a story of our company is myself, Rob Johnson, and my business partner, Robert Johnstone. Very confusing, I know. Started a marketing company in mid-2018. And we really didn't launch and start taking on new clients until January of 2019. And in that, we've learned a bunch of information about advertising and relationships and organizational development. And kind of the tagline of our company is More Than Marketing, because we do more than just Facebook ads and Google ads. We actually go into businesses and help with things like employee hiring, retention, organizational development matters, and human resources. So that's why this show is called More Than Marketing, because we want to take a look at what's behind the curtain when it comes to advertising and integrate our story and other people's stories into that. I feel like origin stories, and especially episode one of a lot of podcasts, is kind of like the Uncle Ben from Spider-Man. Everybody knows the story, and they all pretty much sound the same once you hear enough of them. So it's kind of like, just move on. So what we'll do is I'll move into the main topic, and the main topic is something that occurred about a week ago. I was at an art fair with my wife, and there was an interesting conversation. It wasn't even really a conversation. It was more of just a one-way statement that went down. And it just really got me thinking more about small business and how small businesses grow and how small businesses fail. And if you're listening to this and you're kind of thinking, you know, why, you know, what's the value of hearing this from you? That is, you're saying that about me. It's that we've had a lot of experience in this market, and myself personally, whether it's from a Fortune 500 or a small business, I've seen dynamics in both, and I've seen what works and what doesn't. And I'm of the mindset and philosophy that a lot of people that teach quote unquote marketing online are concerned with one thing, money, and I'm concerned with people, because I'll let you in on a secret. Money will always be there. Anybody that's online that's sitting there and telling you that you need to have a $10,000 agency a month, or you need to have this goal or this goal, and it's all financially related, they are trying to entice you into buying what they're selling. They're trying to raise their own levels by enticing you with money. I hate that. Shortly before I recorded this, I was looking up videos on YouTube and just trying to find people that are talking about growing an agency or growing a marketing firm, and they're all the same. All of the ones on YouTube that I've found thus far all do the same thing and say the same thing. And what they say is, it's about money. Here's the growth strategy, and here's a class that you can buy if you want to learn more. And that is irritating. And I saw one guy in particular, like his tag was like, I've grown this marketing company to over 140 people. And then he starts the video, and in the first 2 minutes, he says, he started this marketing company with a friend. It sounded like he was a minority owner in the company. He left, and his friend grew the company to 140 employees. But he's taking credit for it to get clicks and to sell his class. I hate that. I hate it because it's unfair for people that are trying to get an honest education online. And this is kind of the dilemma that a lot of people have, is there's not a good source for information online. There is, you have to find it. It's not to say that no one does it right. There are especially classes on Skillshare and things that are legitimate. But then you got people online on the YouTube format or the Facebook format selling classes on things that they've never done before. And that's a really tough dynamic to walk. And then on the flip side of this, on the other side of the fence, you have school and you have professors and people that teach marketing that have never marketed. They just got a business degree and went right to university. So it's a hard thing for business owners to understand where the source of truth is, because they're getting crap from all sides. You know, one of the things that we experience a lot is when we call businesses and we talk to them and they say, hey, look, man, you sound great, but we get 25 calls a day from people that are on, you know, let us get you on the first page of Google, you know, let us increase your SEO. And he's like, it just gets tiring after a while. And I'm like, 100%. I completely get it. That would be frustrating for me too. And what more can you say? I mean, I can say I'm not like them, but how do they know that? You know, you have to keep on building that relationship and showing that you're a difference maker and you're a market disruptor. And that's really what it's about. But I wanted to get that out there because I feel like a lot of marketing related videos and podcasts are built on sales. Like, we have no class to sell. There's no master class that's coming behind this. There's no right hook. This really serves as an educational format to help people, and then also for ourselves to just document what's been going on, and that's going to come later. But what I wanted to talk about with it was this art fair. So I want to get back to this. So my wife and I were walking around, and there was a gentleman who had a booth, and it was, you know, pretty big booth, and he was selling what looked like handmade cabinets or cabinets he got from somebody, but they looked really nice. We've been looking one to store books in and my daughter's school stuff and all that jazz. And we've been looking for a month, haven't really found anything that we liked, and we saw this one. It was really nice, and it was like $300, which was in our range, and my wife went to take a picture of it to compare it to some other stuff that we've looked at. And the guy steps in and he's like, I'm going to ask you not to take pictures. And my wife's like, okay. And I was not in the mood to have an argument over, I mean, it's his business. He can do whatever he wants with it. But I wasn't in the mood to be like, why would you do that? That's just such a bad idea to limit people from taking pictures. And we just kept carried on. And I said to my wife, I was like, that's exactly why businesses like that fail, is because people have this mentality that their properties are their own. And that's exactly why he's losing customers, because we could have bought that. And it was very probable that we would have. And she's like, yep, exactly. And as I was thinking about it more, I made a note in my phone. I wanted to talk about this idea. Because if you think about it, what would the logical reasoning be for somebody to say, I'm sorry, you can't take any photos? If it's his own work and he's worried about somebody sharing it, that's a good thing. That's free marketing. If he's worried about somebody duplicating it, he's never going to be able to put the lid on that jar. The cat's already out of the bag. If someone wants to duplicate his work, they can do it. They can buy it and duplicate it and outsell him or whatever it may be. But there's no reason to not let somebody take pictures, especially if they're going to send it to somebody who they think might be interested in it. There's really just no good reason. But I think this is kind of what's at the core of this man's ideology, which is that this is his intellectual property and he's going to protect it. And instead of keeping his arms open and just saying, hey, whatever you want to do, do it. What can I help you with? I saw that you had taken a picture. Is there something you're interested in? Are you comparing it to something? Or like, that's a good conversation starter. Like, to me, when someone takes a picture of something, there's a level of interest there that's associated with it. And that's a great opportunity to sell. Instead, this guy sat with his arms crossed from about 10 feet away, and yelling is a stretch. He didn't yell. He just had to raise his voice to kind of make it across the table or whatever. But that is his form of selling. What the hell are you doing there if you're not there to sell? And if someone's taking a picture and stopping to look at your cabinet, why wouldn't you get in there and try and sell? It's just lazy. And then on top of it, you do something that can absolutely kill the sale. You might as well have said, you know, I'm sorry, we're not selling this to anybody today. Like, that's the same message that I got when he said, I'm sorry, you can't take any photos. Or he didn't say, I'm sorry. He just said, yeah, I'm going to ask you not to take any photos. That's kind of the idea of businesses that have this quote unquote intellectual property, and they don't want it to be exposed. Like for me, like the company that we have, like it's marketing and ads, and you know, you can find four or five other companies in the Lansing area or Louisville area, wherever we operate, and you can find them doing pretty much the same thing that that we do on the surface. And you don't really get to know a company's differentiator until you get to know them. And for this guy, like cabinet making, it's not like it's a rarity. Like other people make cabinets. And even if it was like a software or something like that, there's very few things that you need to protect the IP on, because other people are going to duplicate it or replicate it. Like first thing off the top of my head is like financial software, like bookkeeping software. I mean, there's Zoho Books, there's QuickBooks, there's FreshBooks, there's Peachtree, if that's still a thing, which I think it is. The Microsoft Excel has bookkeeping templates. There's a lot, which would, by the way, don't use Excel. It sounds terrible. Manual entry, yuck. But there are so many things in that software space, and what's going to differentiate yourself is a service as a software, if that's the category that we're talking about, is your service, not your software. For me, I would rather have good software with great service than great software with mediocre to mild service, right? There's just no need to have the best of everything if the service is on point. You know, not a perfect world, you want great software and great service, but that's very hard to find. In a recent review of tech companies, there's only one tech company that had a high quality score and a high service score, and that company is Apple. Dell was second and Microsoft was third. And then they were the only companies in the 70th percentile and above. Like, I think Apple was like 95, Dell was like 80, and Microsoft was 72. Everybody else, your HPs, your Sonys, were all in like the 50th percentile for service, because they haven't focused in on how to make customer service meaningful. And that's a big problem, especially with tech companies and software companies, because your service is what gets you recommended to other people. That's your referral network. But anyway, sidebar on IPs aside, what I'm getting at with all of this is, as a business owner, you need to be engaged with people and not push them away. You need to take an interest in your customers. If they're doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable, start a conversation. Ask them why. I guarantee you'll be surprised with the results, because it'll be much different than you would have anticipated, I suspect. Sometimes people, like in this example, might be comparing something or sending to a friend, or taking it down as a note for later. There's a multitude of reasons that customers do certain things, and sometimes it's nice. Like if I'm taking a picture of something at Best Buy and someone comes up to me and says, hey, I noticed you took a picture of that, which is completely fine, but I wanted to know what was going on, what was your interest in the product, et cetera, et cetera. And then I could say, hey, I was price checking this against Amazon. And they're like, oh, hey, we price check against Amazon. So if you wanted to buy that, we can just do it here and I'll give you an extra 5% off. I'm like, oh, really? Sweet. You just made a sale. Like, we don't think about these things because it's like we have such a hostility towards customers. And this is just in the retail space because they can be irritating. Let's be honest. But if it's your store, if it's your brand on the line, you can't afford to do that. And that's why the majority of businesses start and end within 5 years, because they don't have the service in mind up front. And that's why a lot of these jokers on YouTube and Facebook that are selling all these marketing classes are going to be in the same position. That's why they jump ship and do different things every year or two, because they tried to sell somebody on something that didn't work. And then they saw somebody else doing something that looked successful. So they jump shipped over to that. And that's why everyone's starting all these quote unquote classes. But if you go and look, at whether or not the company that they started is still operating or still doing the things on social media that they say you ought to do, you're not going to find anything on there. And that's the problem. You're not going to find them doing anything that they recommend other people do when it comes to social media. And it's because they're all talk and no action. I find it the same thing that's funny with companies that are like, you know, you need to be on social media, you need to make posts, you know, you need to be engaged with your employees, you need to have brand recognition, you need to, you know, and then you go and they have no website, their Facebook sucks, there's no personality in their business. And it's like, as a marketing company, you just recommended we do all of these things, but you do none of them for yourself. Like, don't you see the hypocrisy in that? And a lot of times they don't. They don't understand, but what they're focusing on is selling something. They're selling an image. They're selling something that they think they ought to sell, but they don't hold to it for themselves. That's a big problem. So I guess the theme of this is, it's a very simple theme, and it's something that we all know. The golden rule, right? Like, treat others like you ought to be treated. Like, we all know that, but we don't really invest in it. We don't really execute it. We don't see it through. It's just something that we know we should do, but we don't. Same thing with customer experience. We know customers should have a great experience, but they don't. And that's a big problem, especially in the marketplace, because they're not looking at the long-term value of a well taken care of customer. So that's what you need to look at, is the big picture. How best can I serve this person? And I will tell you this, like, the money is always going to be there. Like, people that are concerned about money or how much money they're going to make and the profits, like, if you're doing it right, the money is going to come. The money is a byproduct of good service, good sales, good structure. Money is a byproduct of doing the right thing. And it might not be all the time. You hear people like Gary Vaynerchuk talking about leaving money on the table. Maybe, but I often wonder when someone says that, they're leaving money on the table in an effort to do something that is good, I suppose. I assume that's what he means. And my philosophy has always been, how much more money did you make by not taking that money off the table? Right? How much more money did you generate by doing the right thing or doing a good thing for somebody else? So you might have left $50,000 on the table, but to help somebody else out, and then that person gave you $500,000 in work. So you just 10x whatever you left on the table. That's a realistic thing you need to think about. So don't worry about, don't be so focused on making X amount of dollars. Like, obviously a business needs to run, it needs to have operating capital. You need to have something there, but don't be so focused on it that you lose sight of the customer or you lose sight of the sales model or the sales goal, right? Don't be so focused on those things that you lose sight of all that. All right. So I'm going to close every week with a weekly feature, which is basically a recommendation or a book or something that I thought that was rather inspirational to kind of get you thinking. And if you need a recommendation on something that is valuable in the business sector, I thought that'd be a good thing to leave off with. So this week, I've recommended this on other podcasts that I've been on and hosted, but I think that the book Finish by John Acuff is one of the best books for businesses. So if you want to run your business effectively, and if you want to learn how to set goals practically and execute on them, John Acuff's book Finish is definitely, definitely, definitely worth a look. All right. So that will do it for the first installment of More Than Marketing. Still working out the schedule. This is still kind of in the project stage, I would imagine, you know, weekly, but I don't like to commit because things get busy. but that's the game plan. So we'll see how it goes. If you want to get a hold of me, my personal email is rob@wayneconsulting.org. You can hit me up on there. And then we don't have a Facebook page for the podcast yet. I'm still deciding on whether or not there's value in that because we already have a different Facebook page. But all of our social media is @WCG. That's for the business, Instagram, LinkedIn, all that jazz. So you can find us at @WCG on pretty much all social platforms, even Twitter now, I think, too. So I think that's it. I really appreciate you guys listening. If you can share the show or drop a review on iTunes and kind of what your thoughts are. I don't really care about 5 stars or 3 stars, whatever. I just want you to be honest and if you think it's adding value and what we could do as a company to let you inside our doors, so to speak, so you can get a better understanding of how things work for us and how we've scaled at the rate that we have. So, and then on another show, I'll go into kind of how we charge clients and the breakdown for that. And all of our pricing is online too. So it's not like it's a secret or anything like that, but it's all on, I think, wayneconsulting.org/pricing or services. It might be under one of those two, but all that stuff's online. And that's another thing too, just kind of to follow up and as full transparency. Like, we've worked with companies where they don't want to advertise pricing, and then we've worked with companies where, like, they're like, yes, we need to put pricing on here because we're so busy. We need that extra step of qualification online. And I'm like, okay, that works. So that's what we do. We're transparent as well. And we usually tell people 90 to 95% of our clients fall within that range. And if you're like the 1%, like a big corporation with a lot of shops and, you know, a lot of locations, then you might be outside that ballpark. But it's, you know, it's giving people an honest assessment of what they're looking at before they step through the door. And I know a lot of salespeople kind of cringe at that because they're like, well, we want to sell it to you before we hit you with a price and then we can negotiate on the price. I don't really find a lot of value in that. Either they have the budget or they don't. And that's just for us. Like, if you have a different industry where a different sales channel works better, great. But for us, that transparency is important. That way we're not charging different companies differently just because of non-determinate factors, I'll say. So that'll wrap up this week's show. I really appreciate you guys listening. That'll be it till next week. Godspeed. Take care.